God bless you guys. It's wonderful to be here and be able to share the word. You know, I was thinking this morning as I was getting ready to come to fellowship and just the things going on in my head and heart and preparing to come and, you know, you got to get together physically and you got to get in the car and get here. Then you walk through that door and, you know, it's amazing what your heart, what my heart goes through. I'm sure you all experience this coming to fellowship. You know, we see each other, that's really fun and joyful, and we like laugh and hug and, you know, because we're a family, we love each other. And we get to hear the music, and everybody gets blessed by the music and prayer, and then we hear manifestations where God just talks to us specifically what's on his heart this morning towards us. But this is my favorite time, and that's when we get to the Word. Because it's through this magnificent Word of God that we get to know God, that we get a deeper and more real understanding of who our Heavenly Father is and what that relationship with us is all about. And I was so blessed what Mike shared this morning about love, because everything that God has laid down for us, the foundation of that is his love for us. It was when he created the heavens and the earth. It was when he created Adam and Eve. And it still is today. And this is really what excites my heart more than anything, is we get to hear the Word of God. And that is such a privilege in our day and time, because there are countries all around this world that can't hear the Word of God. And, you know, I believe it's God's desire for all man to hear the truth and come into a knowledge of the truth. So he's going to get the Word to people that he knows wants the Word. But we have such a great privilege to know what we know from the Word. And believe me, there's so much in there, we will never know everything. But we will know what God wants us to know as we reach our heart and our hands out to him with humbleness for him to teach us and for us to learn and be able to change our minds about things that maybe aren't so good for us. But I just on my heart to share that. I hadn't planned on that, but I just walked in this morning and I was like, wow, what? You know, we're not this big, huge church, and we don't have a bunch of musicians up here. We do have this for our music and our praise. But you know what? We have God's Word and God's love, and there's nothing more important to that in our lives. And the more we grow in our personal relationship with God, the more hungry we become to know him even deeper. So we're very blessed to have the Word in each other and be able to be together like this. I did want to kind of reiterate a little bit about what we were teaching the last couple, I guess the last month. That was on the topic of giving. Giving from me to you, from me to service, from me, you know, it's something me and you have to do. We're the ones that can give. No one can make us give. No one can give for us. And, you know, God was the greatest example of a giver. You know, and Barney showed us some of the great results of that giving of God when the book of Acts happened, when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and the believers all came together during that time, and they realized what God had done for them and how God had blessed them. You know, the day of Pentecost was huge, and what began to happen after that is they began to come together as a family and had all things together, and they sold their pluralities and they gave to the apostles. They laid the money at the apostles' feet so that everyone in the community could have their needs met. You know, and I think it's really cool to realize that God didn't ask them to give of their need. They gave of their pluralities, you know, and they gave from their heart, and there was great rejoicing and great multitudes were added and saved and became born-again Christians at that time. And then Todd shared a really great sharing on, you know what, God wants us to be a cheerful giver. He wants us to be blessed to give because we, as we go as Christians, recognize everything we have is because of what God gave us. Did we work hard? Yes, we do sometimes, right? But who gives us those jobs? Who opens up the doors? Who's there for us at the right time in the right place? God. Everything we have, God has given us. And God wants us to be blessed to freely give back. You know, it's not about numbers. It's not about how much you give or you don't give. It's about your heart. God wants you to be a giver from your heart and be cheerful and joyful about it. And you know what? That leaves us a lot of freedom to work within because God is always going to meet our need. And as we operate those principles from God's word with a joyful heart, just try it. He does say, prove me now herewith, right? And I don't know if any of you have ever gone through that stage. I did when I was young in the word. I mean, I'm not young in years. I was older, but a new Christian. I was kind of concerned because I had a tight budget, but as I gave and I watched God work, my doubts went away and I trusted Him. So that's what giving is. It's a trust issue between you and your Heavenly Father. And many people benefit from the giving of the church one to another. So I thought that was some really great stuff you guys shared. And, you know, we're going into this new topic on forgiveness this morning. And, you know, I wanted to share this point because it's a very, I think it's a universal type of point. Having worked in the ministry for over 40 years, you know, and working with people and people's hearts, two of the hardest areas for people that I have seen, Barney and I have seen, and I'm sure some of you, is those two areas. In financial giving and in forgiveness. Many times couples come to us or individuals come and we talk to each other in the body of Christ and minister, and forgiveness is a big thing. They don't want to forgive. They don't know if they can forgive. They've been devastated. This person has hurt them. Well, you know what? Yeah. It happens. People are not perfect. But you know what God asks us to do? Forgive. And another big thing is it doesn't matter how you feel about it. You know, I'm sure there's some times when you don't even feel like getting out of bed. But do you get out of bed? Yeah, because it's the right thing for you to do. You have things to take care of. You have places to go. Well, forgiveness is something that God has commanded us to do. It is a commandment. So we need to understand why. What is the importance of forgiveness? What is the importance of forgiving you or someone forgiving me? Forgiveness is for our own growth and happiness. When we hold on to hurt and pain and resentment and anger, it harms us in more ways than it harms the offender. Because we're holding on to that. Having an unforgiving heart, God says it leads to bitterness. And a heart that is bitter is a heart that cannot love the way God asks us to love. When we forgive others, we're not saying what they did was okay, right? But what we are doing is we're releasing that hurt that is going on in our heart to God. We're releasing that pain, that anxiety, that bitterness begins to grow when you don't forgive. And we're giving it to God and we're letting go of it. And you know what that does? Forgiving people, forgiving each other, forgiving yourself. That's a big one we're going to see. That frees up our hearts to love unconditionally. And if you look at 1 Corinthians, I was really blessed, Mike, you did a lot about love today, because really, we want to be able to love unconditionally like 1 Corinthians chapter 13 teaches us to do. Because that's when you're going to be the most blessed and content. And that's when we're going to be the greatest example to other people. And as a Christian, that's part of how we should live our lives. We should live our lives so people see the characteristics of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why do we forgive? Look at Ephesians 4:32. Turn there or flip there or push your phone buttons there. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." I heard a very wise man teach many years ago, "I don't have a hard time forgiving someone else when I stop and remember what God's forgiven me for." And really, that does make it a lot easier. And we'll see, God forgives us for everything. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Remember, the church epistles are written specifically to the church of God. That's us. Any born-again believer is part of the family, is part of the church of God. And Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, all of the church epistles, those seven church epistles, are written directly to us. Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so ye also must do. These are not requests from God. These are commandments. These are probably, no, I'm not even going to use that word. These are two acts, the greatest acts of forgiveness the world will ever see. The act of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, paying the price for our forgiveness. And the act of God giving of His only begotten Son, so that we could have that complete and total forgiveness. Those are the two greatest acts of forgiveness you'll ever see. So how do we forgive? How can we incorporate that into our life as Christians? Well, first of all, we have to make the decision, okay, I'm going to forgive. I'm going to do it. You know? Nah, Vicky, come on. I've been hurt. You don't know what that person did to me. I can't tell you how many times those words have been spoken to me when somebody's come and talked to me. You just don't. They did this and this and this and this and this and this and this. And I'm like, I understand. It hurts you. It's not right. But forgiveness requires you letting go of that. It's your decision whether to forgive somebody or to hang on to it. Don't be fooled that it isn't your decision, that it's about your feelings, because it is not about our feelings. It's not about whether you feel like forgiving someone or not. It's not about if you're at the right place to forgive someone or not. If you're being manipulated with your thoughts that way, you just need to get your head back focused on God and say, okay, God, show me how to do this. Give me the strength, Father. He'll do it. And the longer you hold on to unforgiveness, the more bitter you're going to become, the harder it's going to be to forgive. And we don't need to go there, because God has equipped us. And I want you to remember that. God has equipped us to be forgivers. Okay? Having an unforgiving heart leads to that bitterness I was talking about. But when we release that hurt and bitterness to God and let go of it, it frees up our hearts to love unconditionally, which is what God commands us to do. That is a commandment. It's not a request. And you know what? If we were not capable of doing that, God would not ask us to do that, would He? He's a loving God. I mean, most of us have children in this room. Would you set your kid up and ask him to do something that you knew he could not do and he would fail at? Would you do that to your child? No. And you know what? God would never do that to one of his either. And we're all his kids. Once we believe Romans 10, 9, and 10, and confess with our mouth that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, you know what? You are born again of God's Spirit. And nothing, nothing can take that out of you. And at that moment, at that very moment, when that Spirit, God in Christ in you, is placed within you, that Holy Spirit that God puts within you, your new nature is what God calls it. We'll see that in the Word. Guess what happens? It can't be undone. Now, you could walk away from that and never look back, and you're still God's kid, and he's still going to work in your life. Maybe not as well as he could if he had your cooperation, but you're still his kid. It's like my son. You know, we have a son. When he was growing up, I always loved my son. I always loved him. Sometimes I did not like him very much when he was disobedient and stubborn. But you know what? The love that you have keeps you in the game with him. You know what I mean? It keeps you, okay, we can work through this. Okay, I love him, so I'm going to forgive him. I'm going to give him another chance. There is never a question in God's heart whether we get another chance. We always get another chance. God doesn't have a last straw. That's the last straw. I'm never forgiving that person again. Have you ever heard that statement? That's it. No more. God doesn't have a no more. God doesn't have a last straw. God has so much love and so much patience with us, and his forgiveness is permanent. Look at Acts 26. So first we make the decision to forgive. It's not an emotion. It's not based upon an emotion of how you feel. It's just a dang decision you make. You know, like everybody thinks love is this emotion, romantic, I fall in love with this person. And yeah, there's some of that emotional stuff that goes on. But to really love a person unconditionally like God tells us to, it's a decision we have to make day after day. I can tell you that man sitting right over there has had to make that decision day after day in our lives and our marriage. Because sometimes I'm not nice. I'm not having a great day. We all can have that. But he's decided no matter what, he's going to love me. And I've decided no matter what, I'm going to love him. I know most of you people think he's like Mr. Perfect over here, but he's pretty good at it. He's close to that. But you know what? That's the decision I made. When things don't go right, too many times now, people just walk away. You know? Where's the commitment? Where's the heart to love this person through the good, the bad, and the ugly? Ever seen that movie, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly? I mean, there's some ugly stuff out there that can happen. And, you know, people can say, when they're mad at each other, say bad things. But, man, forgiveness and forgiveness right away is going to strengthen that marriage. It's going to strengthen that relationship. It doesn't happen just with married people. It happens with people you work with. So we have to make that decision. And we have to remember, the second thing I want to, major point I want to put out here is, we remember what we've been forgiven for. And that is something I would like to challenge you to do. The next time you have a hard time forgiving someone, or if you're in your mind, there's still something from the past you haven't forgiven someone for, I want you to go to the Word and look at what you've been forgiven for. Let's look at one in Acts 26, verse 18. This is what God did for us. Acts 26:18, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me, in Jesus Christ. That's what God did for you. Did you deserve it? Mm-mm. Nope. Because of the sin nature was born into man, there's not one darn thing we could do that would raise the bar for that forgiveness. But in the greatest act of love and forgiveness, God gave us His only begotten Son to carry those sins for us so that we have total forgiveness and remission of sins with our Heavenly Father, with God, the Creator of the universe. Ephesians 1. Look at Ephesians 1. Here's another great verse if you need to be reminded. Start in verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, God's grace, by which He made us acceptable in the Beloved, which is Jesus Christ. In Him, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. And these, I'm using the King James translate, the New King James translation, so it may be worded a little different in your Bible, but you're getting the point here. Forgiveness is huge. And God has equipped us. He's given us the resources to be great forgivers. Look at Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins. So you know what? It's a done deal. We have that forgiveness in our hearts. Look at the gospel sometimes. Look at what Jesus Christ said about forgiveness. He forgave the prostitute, the woman who was caught being a prostitute. He forgave his best friend, Peter, for denying he even knew him at one of the hardest times in his life. And on that cross, after being beaten to the point where he didn't look like a human being, the word said you couldn't even recognize his face. He did this because God asked him to, so we could be redeemed and connected back to our Heavenly Father in a relationship that cannot be broken. And he's hanging up there. You know what he says? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Greatest act of forgiveness. My gosh. And what's really, really cool is when we realize that He lives within us. When we realize that it is Christ in us. It's Christ in us. You know what? It becomes a lot easier to forgive. We've had this up here the whole time. Barney, you want to read that, Barney? I don't know who that lady is, but I tell you what, that's a great sharing, isn't it? Is that who it was? That's pretty cool. When we realize that God has within the Holy Spirit that He has put within us when we become born-again Christians, He has equipped us to be the greatest lovers, the greatest forgivers, the greatest givers, the most compassionate people. I'm telling you, we have this great gift. Let's look at part of the... I'm going to look at it real quick. Galatians, okay? Chapter 5. Fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, right? Isn't it 5, guys? 22. There we go. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Long-suffering means a lot of patience. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Wow. That is part of that gift of Holy Spirit. And God tells us that He has put Christ in us. It's Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, does that equip you to be a good forgiver? Does that set you up where you can do all of these magnificent things that God asks us to do for one another? And you know what? Give each other some grace. Cut each other some slack. Sometimes I've hurt somebody's feelings. I didn't even know I hurt their feelings. I had no clue. But something I said or my tone of my voice or something hurt someone's heart. And I couldn't figure out why this person stopped calling and like, what's going on? And then I would call and, you know, just get a quick little conversation. And finally, you know, I just said, did I offend you? Have I done something to offend you? And she just broke down crying. Like, oh my God, I'm trying to figure out what I do. You know, all it turned out to be is a miscommunication. That's all it was. And yet she carried that hurt in her heart and never approached me. So we can't always wait for someone to approach us. If God shows you there's something going on with one of your brothers or sisters, go to them. Now, it's really good if within this thing of forgiveness that we're trying to build in our lives for people, if we would approach them, you know, that'd be great. And when we do approach each other and we do reach out because we know we've hurt someone, cut us some grace. Be meek with each other. Be tender-hearted. Isn't that what God tells us in Ephesians 4:32? Be kind, be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Oh my gosh. How can you, when you remember that, how can you not forgive? You know? And again, forgiving someone doesn't mean what they did was okay. So you might have to work out a few issues with one another, a few, you know, hey, I won't do that to you and you don't do that to me and this will never happen again, whatever, you know? But the big thing is, we're being obedient to God when we do this. When we forgive, we are doing what God's asking us to do. And if we, every time we do that, God is at work within those situations. And I think as others get ready to teach this topic the rest of the month, because I'm telling you, there's a lot, this is just the surface of forgiveness. I'm just laying a foundation here. This can affect your ability to be healed. This can affect your ability to connect with someone that God needs you to connect with. This bitterness can lead you to really unwise decisions in your own life. It can lead to lying. Unforgiveness has a lot of tentacles on it because there's only one source that doesn't want you to forgive, and that's Satan. Because if he can keep people angry and hurt and not speaking the truth and love to one another, he gains ground in that church, in that body of believers, in that office, in that hospital, or wherever you are, or anyone else's that needs to forgive or be forgiven. And the last thing I want to share, forgive yourselves. It's really hard to forgive someone else when you can't forgive yourself. Look, it says in Romans, nothing. I want you to read that. Romans 8, 32? somewhere there? Yeah. What'd you say, Bob? 37. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. So, forgive yourself. When you blow it, go to God. Let his balm of love and healing just flow over your heart. Forgive yourself. Do better the next time. And have that grace and that love and that forgiveness in your hand to hand it out to somebody else who needs it when they come to you. And I'm going to tell you, it really edifies and builds up the body of Christ. So, we love each other and we want everybody to be blessed, right? And these are just some of the things that we need to do to help God. Believe it or not, he needs us to help him bring that unity about one to another in the body. So thanks for letting me share, and you guys have a great day and a great week, okay? God bless you.